Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Revelation. Now to Pastor Chris.
Revelation 12 today on Through the Word. A woman, a dragon, and a war in heaven. We're still at the halfway point in the tribulation period. John is in heaven as the story of the end of the world is revealed. Here in chapter 12, John gets a vision that pans out to the grand story of history, the story of Israel, of Satan, of Messiah, and the great battle of angels and demons in heaven. As we shall see, that battle reaches a peak right here at mid-tribulation. So let's start in at verse 1. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. So a woman and a dragon. What is going on? First off, notice these are signs that John sees in heaven. That means they're symbolic. But remember, symbolic of real things and real events. Now, if you read this as an allegory, that's different. An allegory is symbolic of ideas, not real things. And some read it that way, which I get, but I disagree. In any case, what are the symbols? First, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon underfoot. Some say this is Mary, Jesus' mother. I think the imagery suggests it's Israel, the whole nation. The sun and moon images come from Joseph's dream in Genesis, and the 12 stars for 12 tribes. And then in verse 2, the woman is pregnant, ready to give birth. God's purpose for Israel, to bring the Messiah. Enter the dragon, enormous and red, with 7 heads and 10 horns. Revelation just got serious. Verse 9 explains the dragon is Satan, the devil, the one who leads the whole world astray. That's a telling statement. The 7 heads and 10 horns represent power. More will be explained in chapter 14. For now, what's the old dragon up to? Verse 4. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. Here we have a short overview on Satan's story. Satan wasn't created evil. He was made an angel, a powerful one, with free will like any moral creature. Isaiah and Ezekiel tell us that Satan led a rebellion in heaven against God, and one-third of the angels joined him. That's the picture here. The dragon's tail knocks a third of the stars out of the sky. That's the angels who became demons. It's all symbolic, so angels are not actual stars, and Satan's not an actual dragon. But the demons are very real. And then the dragon waits to devour the child of the woman. That means Jesus, the child of Israel. Satan's goal is kill the Messiah as soon as he's born. Remember, Herod murdered every boy 2 and under in Bethlehem. Guess where he got the idea? But then in verse 5, she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. So Israel gives birth to the one who will rule the nations. You may have noticed that's one of the major themes here. Jesus will rule the nations. That's why Satan's after him. He doesn't want to give up control. But Jesus is snatched up to God's throne in heaven. That's Jesus' ascension after he died. And verse 6 brings the story back to the middle of the tribulation. Then in verse 7, the scene changes. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. War in heaven. Gotta wonder what that looks like. Angels and demons go at it. Michael is an archangel, a chief among angels, and he leads the battle against Satan. Now, some have said that Michael is really Jesus, but I don't think that adds up. Daniel 12:1 tells us that Michael has a specific assignment to protect Israel, which fits the story here. This war in heaven appears to be right at the halfway point in the tribulation, and it ends in verse 9 with Satan hurled to the earth and his angels with him. A cry of victory resounds in heaven. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Now this is an insight you need to know about the devil. The word devil means accuser. That is exactly what he is. He is the ultimate guilt tripper. Satan wants you tripping all over your guilt. The book of Job gives us an example. Satan pleads his case to God against us. Now, why is that important to know? Because the accusation doesn't stick. In Christ, no weapon formed against you will stand, including accusations. Why? Verse 11, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There is a powerful statement of how Satan and all his accusations against you are defeated. The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. What word is that? I put my faith in Jesus. His blood covers all my guilt and shame. The accuser has nothing on me. And what if taking a stand for Jesus puts you in danger? Back in verse 11, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So the heavens rejoice, but the earth is warned. In verse 13, the dragon realizes what happened, and he goes after the woman. That's Israel. Now Satan has been on the attack against Israel since their beginning. Hitler wasn't the only one. Racism against Jews is called anti-Semitism, and it is one of the most consistent and cruel racial hatreds in history. I am convinced that Satan is behind it. Now, I am not saying that the Jews are right in all they do, nor are their enemies all wrong. They're not. All racist hatred is wrong, in any direction. Anti-Jew, anti-Arab, anti-Palestinian, all hatred is wrong. But I will say this. In chapter 12, those who attack Israel in the end times will have a strong ally in Satan. Something to consider. Here at the halfway point in the tribulation, Satan pulls his many strings of power on earth and goes after the Jews. But in verse 14, the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. So twice in this chapter, we see the picture of Israel fleeing to the wilderness and kept safe somewhere. Both verses list the time in the wilderness is 1,260 days, a.k.a. 3.5 years, a.k.a. a time, times, and half a time. That makes sense because Antichrist breaks his covenant with them at mid-tribulation. After that, Israel is in hiding. The chapter ends with the dragon enraged. He can't attack Israel, so he goes after her offspring. That's tribulation Christians. Notice in the last verse, he attacks all those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. Interesting. In the same chapter, your testimony about Jesus gets you two things, attacked by Satan and saved by God. Satan is always on the attack. Here against Israel, Jesus, angels, and Christians. His goal is steal, kill, and destroy. But hold fast. By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of our testimony, we shall overcome.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.